Our text are the ones we have just heard read from Revelation 7. If everyone else was jumping off of a cliff, would you do it too? I don't know whether that gem of parental logic is still being widely used, but as a child, I certainly heard it from time to time. To their credit, my parents did not overuse the argument. It would appear only when my persistent request for some peer-approved behavior or some possession were not yielding to their softer forms of persuasion, but it was available and often hung in the air of our discussions, a presence that could be brought to bear at any moment, effectively ending all debate. As a child, I had no answer to such solid logic. No, I didn't need to have what everyone else had or do what everyone else was doing. That was that. It was simply axiomatic. Don't go along with the crowd. Don't let the crowd define you. Don't let the crowd form you. And it's good counsel, but it's not easily done. And it's not just kids who hear the siren song and feel themselves tugged along by the crowd. It's so much easier to quit resisting, go with the flow. It's so much simpler to quit thinking and just fall into line with everyone else. It's liberating to stop asking why and just do what everyone else has decided to do. There is an attractiveness and allure to the crowd. How much of what you do is driven by the crowd? The clothes you buy, the phone you carry, the car you drive, the diversions that occupy your time, the food you eat, the attitudes you display. So much of what you are and how you are is determined by others, by the crowd, even though we don't recognize it. And this is not all always bad. The compulsion of the crowd and the comfort of habit can make daily functioning a lot simpler and a little less bothersome. But those same forces and those same behaviors can turn deadly when they teach us to welcome, to endorse, and to adopt ideas and actions and habits which obscure our authentic identity and alienated us from what is true and right. The crowd will suck your soul right out of you. The crowd will kill you. When all is done, in the final scene, the horrible reality will be unmasked. The frenzied, exuberant activity, the fashionable clothes, the bright painted faces, and the perpetual celebrations will all be gone. And what will be left then is the mindless, lethargic shuffle, the tattered rags, the decayed, distorted features, and the futile effort to satisfy an insatiable need. The crowd collapses, after all, into a zombie walk. But God has saved you from the zombie walk. He has pulled you out of the crowd. He called you by name, individually, one at a time. As the water spilled over your head, God spoke your name and then sealed you with His name. It's done. You belong to Him. It's who you are. You've been sealed. Just as certainly as the 12,000 from each one of Israel's 12 tribes making that glorious 144,000, one at a time. God called, God baptized, and God sealed, one at a time, profoundly, personally. He drew you out of the dead crowd and gave you a new identity, forgiven child of God. One at a time. He sealed His people and created a new crowd, a multitude that cannot be counted. This is God's reality. This is the reality of your future. This is the reality that you will experience. You, my friend, are part of God's crowd. Those sealed at the font will be glorified at the eschaton. You will be glorified. You will be part of that vast multitude with blood-washed garments of white, washed in the Lord's strange blood bath of grace, celebrating there God's eternal love. This is your story. This is your reality. Don't let the luster and the lure of the crowd around you confuse you. Don't let it deceive you. Don't let it pollute you. You are not part of the crowd. You are part of the hosts of heaven. And what a contrast between the crowd of the walking dead that fill this world and the fantastic multitude of the resurrected who occupy the newly recreated world of God's eternal presence. Never forget which one defines and directs you. You live your life between two great realities, both acts of profound mercy and incomprehensible love from God. At the beginning, He calls you, names you, and seals you, doused in the flood of His baptismal grace. At the end, He calls you out of your grave and into your place with the hosts. But even then, you are not simply swallowed up in the crowd or lost in a sea of anonymity. No, somehow, even then, in the midst of that innumerable mass of a brilliant, perfected humanity, He will seek and find just you. And then with all the tenderness of a new father, He will greet your gaze and wipe away the last vestiges of life here, the painful life of contending with the crowd. And then on that day, the last tear will be wiped away by the finger of your Lord, or maybe by His thumb. The tribulation, the sorrow, the battle, the pain, the heartache, the agony are only for a while, just a passing phase between the two bookends that matter. Tribulation, only for a while. Life with the Lamb is forever. Amen.